Fierce Femme Media.
Thanks for joining us in part two of this conversation. We are going to pick back up where we left off last week and continue having our disagreements in some areas of agreement. This section will get a little bit more heated. We dive deeper into race and some of the issues that are keeping Republicans and Democrats apart based on values. I hope you guys enjoy. Thanks.
Because at the end of the day, the president only has so much power, right? Like, Congress matters, Senate matters. Like, Mindy, I know you had said earlier that, you know, gas prices are high. I actually argued with Democrats when Trump was in office because the president doesn't dictate the gas prices. Like, that's just not a thing. And when Democrats were blaming Trump for high gas prices, I told them that's not Trump's fault. So like, the president only has so much power. And like, although, yes, I agree, he represents what used to be the free world. We're not even really the free world anymore. Like, that's not, there's 85% of the countries on the planet are free. Like, that's not a thing anymore. Okay. Like, so I do think, as far as representation stuff, yeah, the president matters, but what really matters is, I mean, we've said it on here, local governments, our values, like how we present ourselves, the things that we vote for locally, because that has the most impact on us. So going back to like the differences in our values and our similarities, I'm going to ring you guys back in. And Aaron, I can't believe you drank before this, because
I have a question about the gas.
I was nervous. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
So, you know, when Trump was in office, the pipeline was in America, and then he left and we automatically went to overseas. Like, do you agree with that decision, or do you feel
like are you talking about the Keystone Pipeline?
Yes.
Okay. The Keystone Pipeline wasn't completed being built while Trump was in office. Yes. He had signed the paperwork to go ahead and continue it being built, but it wasn't actually done. Joe Biden did halt construction on it. And all the Keystone Pipeline would have actually done is transport oil for China that was then going to export it. So although there's a lot of like chest puffing about the Keystone Pipeline, it actually would have only added about 35 full-time jobs to the American population. And OPSEC actually controls the prices of gasoline. And although you may have seen a fluctuation by a few dollars as far as price per barrel, Canada was planning on exporting all of that oil anyway, so it wasn't going to go to their actual refineries, which was all in the plans. So I have a real like weird relationship with the Keystone Pipeline, because I think it's one of the main elements that there's a lot of misinformation out about there. And I don't think all misinformation is one-sided. I think because we've become such a polarized country, reporters shoot for headlines instead of substance. And unless you actually dig in and like read the intricacies of it, I think a lot of us fall prey to headline usage instead of actually reading like the bulk of the stories. But yeah, the Keystone Pipeline was never going to heavily affect us because it was always intended to be exported. So,
well, and a lot of it's supply and demand stuff too, like water rates, gas rates, electric rates, all those things are going to be more expensive because we were using less during the pandemic. So that's what happens in California when we have droughts, because we're using less water because we have to conserve it because there's a drought. It then at the end of that makes the water rates higher because you know, it all still has to be paid for. And then the demand gets higher because you can use it again. So I think a lot of that too is just sometimes natural response to whatever thing we've been experiencing.
And it's also important to note, when we look at the prices in America for gas, is to compare it to the rest of the world also. And the rest of the world is suffering from high gas prices right now because crude oil is so expensive per barrel.
So I should just get that Mustang Mach-E that I want because it's electric.
But the point is, obviously, Biden, Trump, Bush, it doesn't matter, doesn't control the gas prices at all. So
that's fair.
Yeah, it was like, when Democrats were doing that too, I was like, oh guys, that's low hanging fruit. Come on, you know better.
I hate, like, I don't watch Fox News, believe it or not.
Thanks God.
That's good.
But I also don't watch CNN.
My boyfriends are all on there.
So what I hate is you can watch CNN and watch them, and then Fox tell the same exact story and it'd be so different. Like, why? Like, when did we lose honest journalism? Like, when did we lose, like, where you tell the facts?
In the 1980s.
Public decide.
In the 1980s.
I agree.
Because if So Fox News is technically entertainment, and CNN became the first 24-hour news station too, right? So they're cycling news 24 hours. So of course, in order to get people to stay tuned in and to get their advertisers to watch, they're going to have to sensationalize news also. But Fox, because they're technically an they've been sued over it. That's not my opinion. That's just, they have gone to court to defend this position of being an entertainment network, because they, not all of them, Shepard, he does actual sometimes news stories, but like Tucker Carlson, Bill O'Reilly, all of the Fox and Friends, they're all opinion shows. So you get a bunch of talking heads on there that right. give their opinion and present it as fact, which and well, CNN does the same thing though. They get a shitload of talking heads up there and they present it as fact. Van Jones. Yeah. They all do
okay.
it.
Okay. But not Anderson. Leave my boyfriends out of this.
Yeah, no, I do not talk like about Anderson but unless, Cooper at
oh
all.
Oh my God, how do you not like Anderson Cooper?
I don't like him. I think he's a jerk.
He's the most beautiful gay man ever.
So beautiful.
Like, so your Anderson Cooper is my Tucker Carlson. So
God. Oh, Mindy, you really lost
Mindy, Mindy.
Yeah,
oh,
I just,
Mindy. But you know what? I love that you love him. And that's really what it is.
I do not love that you love okay, Tucker Carlson.
But let's take a look for a second at Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson was just sued. Okay.
But I understand that he's opinion based. So like it's his opinion. Right. So but when I watch him, I know that he's not telling me fact. I know that he's telling me his opinion.
But you're
I can take
smart.
It for what it is.
But you're smart. Like there's a lot of people out there that aren't smart that take his opinion as fact.
My father-in-law.
But that goes on the other side too. Like there's a lot of people on the other side that take everything as fact. Like I truly believe my sister takes everything for face value and does no research herself. And the majority
what does she believe in?
She's Democrat. But here's the thing though, but I wish she could look more into it and tell me, hey, this is why I feel like I can't ask her like, hey, why do you feel this way? Because she immediately like insults me. And I don't think that's productive. If she could say, this is why I feel this way, I'd be like, I absolutely respect you. Thank you.
Listen, here's what I tell my managers when they're going round and round and round with somebody. I tell them, you can be right or you can be effective. You need to pick one. Agreed. Because some people get stuck on wanting to be right all the time and then they're not going to be effective in a conversation. So you can only pick one.
I don't care if I'm right.
Or you can be drunk. That's the third option.
That would be my option.
Like, I don't care if I'm right. Like, I really don't. If you tell me that I'm wrong and you show me facts that I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. And that's fine. Because I'm not perfect.
Right. And the other thing is, and Mindy, you kind of touched on this, was we all have different lenses that we view the world. Like we live in California. Well, Erin lives in Florida, but we don't talk about that. We don't hold against her.
Erin, I would move to Florida if I could.
Oh, don't. You'll get COVID.
I've had COVID.
You'll get it again.
That's okay.
So we all have these different like lenses that we view the world in that kind of narrate how we take things in. So certain things are going to be more important to me than they're going to be to Mindy, and certain things are going to be more important to Stacy than they are going to be to Julie. So we all have these lenses that we view these things. And I wasn't going to say Erin, because Erin would just be like, whatever's important to birds, important to me. But part of that also is being able, so critical thinking lacks so deeply with the majority of people.
Yes.
Because we have so much confirmation bias. We seek out answers that validate our own opinions. And I don't think Republicans are absolved from that any more than I think that Democrats are absolved from that. One of the issues I have though is I feel like a lot of times we're starting from two totally different places of one of us, or probably both of us, feels that like we're starting from a place of facts and knowledge, and the other one is starting from a place of emotion and fear. Yes. So it's really easy to peddle fear this like overwhelming craze that the world is changing under conservatives' feet and they don't know how to keep up. Because conservative, it's in the name, right? They like things to stay the same. They want things to be traditional. They want consistency. They like these values that have been typically aligned with what it means to be an American. Whereas progressives, that's in the name too, right? They want to push forward. They want change. They want things to be different. So I think that's one of our kind of, one of the things that we're consistently butting up heads against. But what I wanted to ask you was, what do you think is the biggest misconception that the majority of progressives have wrong about people like you?
So I didn't say this before, but like I, until just about last month, I was a law enforcement officer. Okay. So in the past decade, I've worked all the way from in the detention center to field. I've had a canine. I've done as much as I could. Did I love it? No, I didn't, because everybody hates a cop. Like, and that was the worst thing. The biggest misconception, and that I think that people think are conservative, is that we're racist. Like, I am not, I do not care what color your skin is. Like, I do not, if you're an asshole, you're an asshole. And doesn't matter what color skin you have. I've never once said to my kids that someone of a different color is less than you are. Never had that conversation. Never felt that I needed to have that conversation, because it doesn't matter. And I think sometimes conservatives get labeled as racist, and maybe there some are, but it's like cops are all bad. No, they're not. This much of like a percentage of cops are bad. The most of them are just trying to do their job and get home to their family. They have a job to do.
So I don't, it kind of goes back to the whole like gay thing too, though, right? Like, I don't think you in particular are racist. I think it's easier when people are making arguments to make like sweeping generalizations to prove a point. And I think that the reason most people associate conservatism with racism is because a lot of times the conservatives in office are trying to put in place racist policies. So I'll use the word lazy. It's a lazy connection to say that a conservative must be a racist because they're voting for people who are trying to implement racist policies.
I think that like conservatives, like, okay, so like, if you think of like a liberal, you think, oh, they're open-minded. Right. And then you think of a conservative, they're closed-minded. You can't like that. What they believe is what they believe. And I don't think that's true, because, you know, my daughter is 13 years old and she has a girlfriend. Okay. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
I can't believe you brought that up. I can't believe you brought that up.
You know what? I take that girl to her house every Saturday. Okay. And she's talked to Julie about it, because what do I know about being a lesbian? I have no idea. I've never been one.
We're always accepting applications, Mindy, is all I'm saying.
Always.
Listen, stop. But it's, you know, but I love Julie more than anything. I will literally, like, if somebody brings her up in a conversation, I will go out of my way to tell people how much I love her.
Even though, like, Sarah Sanders doesn't think gay people should be married.
I will tell Sarah Sanders that
but you're going to vote for her.
I am, because it's.
But you see what, do you see where I'm saying that, like, disconnect happens?
But what, like, it's, that's what's crappy about it. I have to choose a side.
But that's what we're saying. The difference between values, like, that's her life. She lives there. Right. So voting for someone who would like to see her unmarried, voting in favor of them because you like their stance on, I don't know, masks. You're now putting masks above Julie's marriage. Right. And I believe you when you say you take a bullet for my sister. I do. I know that you love her. But do you see where, like,
I'm just getting caught up. Are we not, like, we're not in favor of masks?
Yeah, no.
I'm not.
Oh, no, I am.
Okay. So that was my question. Like, COVID's not real.
And that's where, like, I think even I need to do research on, is she going to be governor a lot? And is it going to prevent my daughter from loving who she loves? And that may change my mind. But I can't speak at this current moment.
What would be more important? I'm just asking. I'm not trying to get you in, like, a gotcha moment. Than someone who doesn't think, for you, what's a more important policy position that Sarah Sanders could have that would trump Julie? And I'm not trying to be a pun on words with Trump. I'm just saying, what would be what would be more important voting for than gay rights for you?
I feel like that would probably take some soul searching, and I don't want to butt into what
everyone. I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm not trying to do.
I feel like with me, obviously, it's whatever. You know, I'm gonna figure it out. But like, her daughter, COVID's temporary. You know what I mean? COVID, like, Julie's gonna be gay forever.
So I think what would be what like the only thing that would be more important than that for me is keeping our country whole, keeping, you know, the foundations. Like, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe, so no, I believe in the First Amendment.
Everyone here, believe it or not, believes in the Second Amendment.
I love it. I love it. So,
well, Stacey's iffy. She doesn't think everyone should have a gun.
Correct. And there's some people who should certainly not.
But she thinks I should have one.
For 100%. Who shouldn't? Me. Probably Aaron. Yeah. You shouldn't have one.
But you know what? Like, being someone who's toted a gun for many years, being a female, having that gun gave me so much more confidence to get into situations.
Right. But that's fine if you have competency in that. I don't and wouldn't. And so it's a bad idea.
But keeping the country together.
Sorry. You're not getting a gun. You're not getting.
And Aaron's like, often Aaron's drunk. So
she's probably you shouldn't. Like, if I'm drinking, I'm not carrying a gun.
Right. But I think with the racism thing, like, I don't know if it just things become popular taglines, because I wouldn't assume every cop is racist. I know that's not true. But the second I hear somebody mutter all lives matter, I'm like, that person's fucking racist.
See, that's, I disagree, because I think all lives matter.
Right. But I should take it back. When people say it after someone else has said Black Lives Matter.
That's just
I think that's shitty and racist.
Yeah, there's of being, course there's everyone being confrontational.
Thinks, right, well, not even confrontational. They're trying to prove a point that they that Black lives don't matter right now, and they shouldn't matter as much as other lives. And it's that kind of stuff that's like, so inherently these things get co-opted. These phrases like all lives matter, the thin blue line, all of these things get co-opted into these things that take on racist undertones, the don't tread on me, all that stuff starts to take on really racist undertones. And I don't know if people all together like understand what that is. So when I see those things, those become beacons of racism. And but so
don't tread on me had nothing to do with racism.
Right. It doesn't matter. It's been co-opted.
Kind of like the Confederate flag.
Kind of like the Nazi symbol. The Nazi symbol used to be a pagan sign of transformation and spring. Right. But now if you see it, you think of Nazi Germany.
Like Minnie said, and the Confederate flag. Yeah.
If I could speak to like the entire country, like Black Lives
Matter. Well, we only have about 6,000 listeners. Yeah. So, but you got there, Aaron, right now.
So the 6,000 listeners, you know, Black Lives do matter. Every life matters. And I know that's like, it's like, it like, okay, it takes away, but it doesn't, because the color of our skin means like, we're all afforded the same opportunity. And yes, discrimination
100%
discrimination. Listen, discrimination does happen. I have been discriminated as a female in law enforcement. So I understand.
Well, I think that might be two differences between liberals and conservatives. I don't think we're all given the same opportunity. I know for a fact that as a straight white woman, I've been given lots of opportunities that other people haven't. So we're not starting out on an even playing field from the get-go. We don't all have the same opportunities. And I think that's maybe why some of those policy things aren't as important to conservatives who might think the same way as you as they are to liberals who might think the same way as me, that we aren't all given the same opportunity, that there's fundamental processes that have been put into place that keep poor people poor and keep Black people poor and adversely affect certain groups.
And that doesn't mean that women don't face discrimination and that you have it in law enforcement, because you have. Of course you have, because women face discrimination.
So like the Black Lives Matter organization, so I feel like they could have done so much more for the Black population. Like, and this is just, like I said, just from me seeing things. It's like, you know, we have these people in welfare. Like, what are we, no money is going to them. Like, they're like, where's the education to show you, like, you don't have to live this way. When you turn 18 years old, what are we doing for them? Like, where are the organizations that help these kids get out of welfare?
That's a lot. There's two books I would recommend if you're actually serious about these questions. So one of them would be How to Be an Anti-Racist. I learned a ton from that book about sort of literally how our country is founded and how the laws we have, not just like not just gerrymandering and all of those things, but all of these things work together to keep people down. The color of law is another one. It's really, really dry.
What's that first one called, Stacey?
How to be an anti-racist. And then the second one is called The Color of Law. And honestly, those two books changed my mind about all of those things. Cause I probably thought really similarly when I was younger that like, hey, we all have the same opportunity. But when you really look at the way almost every system in our country is set up, it is to put people of color and poor people at a disadvantage.
So like, give me an example.
Redlining.
Yeah. What's that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
So we all know that school districts are drawn, like how much money your school gets is based on property taxes from the houses inside their district, right?
Right.
So back when segregation ended and they said, no, white people, black people have to go to school with you, stop being an asshole. And they segregation ended. What started happening was they started drawing red lines around essentially white communities and black communities so that white schools were getting more money than black schools because of the property taxes that were going to those schools. So although it wasn't segregation, it was legal. It was redlining segregation. And because then schools were getting less money, they're getting less qualified teachers, they're getting less educated teachers, they have more overcrowding in schools. So you could have kids that grew up three streets apart that have entirely different opportunities of growing up. Now, this is more honed in on like more urban areas. Like I know you guys live more out, not in the country,
no,
but you
I will
have
tell
more.
You, like I grew up with one black kid in my school.
Right, redlining.
So, but you know, as a cop, the majority of my crackheads and my people that were assholes were white people. Mm-hmm. Like I pulled over black people and I'm like, have a great day. Like the black people that I know are make more money than me. Like it's different. I don't live in a city, a big city. So like, I can't speak on how I feel about that. Like
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Stace.
Oh no. I was going to say just another example is like a lot of the abortion laws, those, every rich white politician is going to be able to afford to get his mistress an abortion. And you know, who's not is someone who's economically depressed. And so there's a lot of thought that goes into that, you know, a way of keeping people on welfare is to force them to have children that they can't take care of.
I think that's a part that I really wanted to comment on. And, you know, when Mindy comes back or whatever, but that I think a lot of us are products of our environment. Like I grew up, you know, in California where you had a lot more African-American people. And then coming out here, it's like, I agree with Mindy, but I don't. So like you come out here and a lot of the African-American people that we come in contact with are super successful, actually, even being in a white dominated area. You know, they're successful, but I would say that I hate saying this, like one of my best friends is black, but I mean, she really is. And she has faced, you know, even though she is successful, she has also her and her family have faced a lot of racism.
Yeah. I think it's harder to recognize sometimes. I had this conversation with Tina, actually, that if you're a white person who has experienced poverty, it's a lot harder for you to accept the fact that people of color are have been set up to be at a disadvantage because you're like, what the hell? I've been at a disadvantage. But sometimes that's just,
I think
nothing is set up to on purpose do that and do that specifically to your race.
Right.
That makes sense.
You're not profiled.
I also think what's hard in my opinion is that I feel like, and maybe it's just who I surround myself with, you know, birds of a feather. I have not personally met a lot of racist people.
Right.
And I think it's hard to, you know, come to the fact of that people of, you know, black descent or Asian or, you know, Hispanic or whatever are frowned upon and don't have the same opportunities or whatever. And that's, I mean, I agree. That's a hard pill for me to swallow sometimes, because I'm like, I personally haven't seen it. I personally have seen the opposite of where we, you know, and maybe it's because of working in law enforcement in the jail for me, you know, where we get, I don't want to say persecuted because that's not the word, but get, you know, screamed and yelled at or whatever, because we're white and they're black or they're Marshallese, or, you know, we have a lot of things going on where we live, and it's hard to, I don't want to say buy into that, but like go along with that at times,
right.
which I know that, you know, obviously African-Americans were oppressed, mm-hmm. and they got treated in a way that they should not have ever been treated. You know, it's, that's everybody. I feel like everybody that's a decent human being agrees with that. At right. this point.
Can I give an example?
Yeah.
I think totally. One of the bigger issues we have is implicit bias. I think that's a bigger problem than the outward kind of racism that you're talking about. Because if I'm talking about, yeah, how many people have you run into that are going to like scream and yell at somebody for being black and call them the N-word and da 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 da.
Right.
No, that's probably not that high. But how many people do you know that would be driving down the street at nighttime and see a young black man and lock their car doors without even thinking about it?
Zero.
Well, I okay, so I see what you're saying, but I also but feel here's
where are we?
I also right. It's like you're a product of your environment. Now I'm from California. If I'm in Oakland, I don't care who's walking down the fucking street. I'm locking my doors.
Right, but you know, but we've been conditioned to think that young black men are going to be dangerous. Even as a woman, if I'm by myself at nighttime, I'll want to lock my door from all men. In a way that I wouldn't do from, you know, a woman walking down the street. But implicit bias, and I've done a lot of implicit bias training, is mm-hmm. very different than outward racism. And
I see what you're saying. No,
almost every single person probably experiences that.
I see what you're saying. I got into it with somebody tonight, walking out of the place that Mindy and I had dinner at, who could not stop staring at my wife's ass. And I said, really fucking dude? And he was an African-American but that had nothing to do with it. But I don't know, would I have felt different?
It takes a lot of reflection, and that's probably not something that you could just sit back and go like, I didn't think. It really does take a lot of reflection. I spent a lot of time having to reflect on that kind of stuff too.
For me though, driving on the streets of like Bentonville, I don't care. But I go to Little Rock, where I know that they have shootings all the time. I'm going to lock my doors.
Well, I'm just saying like people are conditioned to,
it's going to be a
black.
That's
great that you don't think about that and maybe do a little bit of self-reflection, because I think it's easy to say like, oh, I don't think that way. But when you really, really sit down to look at it, we've been conditioned to perceive people of color as more of a threat than people that are white.
It goes just further back than that, though.
I've never been perceived that way. Like, okay. No one's ever told me
but
that.
But just because you're not racist doesn't mean you haven't benefited from racism. So right. White people,
right? And it's implicit, so it's not something that you're actively doing. But
you guys, you can't speak for other people either, though.
No,
so you I'm can't not speaking speak for majority you, of just, people, but you are. You're saying just because you're not racist, other people aren't racist. Like, you can't speak.
I said, just because you're not racist doesn't mean you haven't benefited from the systems of racism. And mm-hmm. that's because white people on average have the opportunity to build generational wealth in this country. And the reason that you can trace that back to slavery, this isn't a 2021 problem. This is the inception of the first time a slave ship came over and landed on the shores of this country. We're just reckoning with those decisions now. And listen, my ancestors were, when the first slave ship landed, my ancestors were still in Ireland. So like, they weren't even here for that. We didn't come over till the 1800s. But the fact is, if you look at the systems that were put in place I don't think all cops are racist. I 100% don't think that at all. I actually had this conversation with my father.
You get training every year, literally, to not be racist.
Well, no,
it's obviously not working all the way.
You can't deny. Well, it's just fact that policing was established to track down escaped slaves. Like, that's just why policing was established. The first police officers were sent to track down slaves. Now, escaped enslaved people. Now, if you look at the systems that were set up, you can even go back to the 50s, all right, where people, black men who were coming home from the war, weren't even allowed to utilize the VA benefits in the GI Bill. Therefore, they weren't able to buy houses like their white counterparts, the ones that they had fought in battle with. They weren't able to start buying houses and create generational wealth. Look at Black Wall Street in Tulsa that was burnt to the ground. They had black wealth ripped out from underneath of them. Look at, we weren't even putting black people in colleges. Colleges, you got the segregation, our grandparents were around for it. Like, all of these things that we held, not we, all of these things that black people were held back from participating in normal white society prevented them from having and creating generational familial wealth, which starts escalating the cycle of poverty that exists today. Not all of them. Some of them came out of that system. Some of them. But some of them isn't enough. That when we say systemic racism, that's what we mean. The systems. I don't mean you, Mindy, are individually racist. I don't think that. I don't mean you, Julie, are individually racist. I mean the systems that our entire society is built on started in our founding fathers, who everyone holds up as gods, didn't think they counted, didn't think black people counted as a full person. They didn't think women did either. Listen, they got a lot of shit wrong. The founding fathers did. They got a lot of shit wrong. But all of these things, you don't have to reach back that far to find where they were born, where they spread. The white flight, as soon as people invented cars in the early 1900s and people were able to start commuting and they didn't have to live in cities, people were moving out of the cities and into the suburbs, and they weren't selling homes to black people. That happened up until the 1960s. That could still happen now in certain communities. Black people were prevented from taking part in traditional white society. That's what systemic racism means. I don't think anybody sitting here is personally responsible for the oppression of white people.
Stuff like,
but when we all, like, when I say we all benefit Brown from Act. It, when I say we all benefit from it, we've all benefited from it unknowingly and unintentionally. Mm-hmm. And we have mm-hmm. to be aware of that when we have these conversations.
Right. Even look at school dress codes where kids of color can't wear protected hairstyles at school because those aren't deemed appropriate. It's stuff like that.
Maybe I do take it too personally and like, well, I'm not racist and nobody that I know is racist. And, you know, this doesn't affect me, or I feel like anyways, it doesn't affect my community, which I'm sure it does, but that's hard, you know, for people that haven't researched it and really dove into it.
It's
and
a looked, tough and, pill to swallow and, because and I'm right with you, Julie. Because I would have said the same thing before I started doing all this.
That's racist. Like,
right? I feel like it's hard to argue though, as like five white women, to talk about race. Because
I think we should. I think it's super important.
Mindy, it's 2020. Who's oppressing people? Because you have
lots of people.
Colleges that are telling people, what masks are only for black people. We're segregating people. Well,
I think more importantly, hold on, Aaron, just real quick. Me and Mindy both know somebody personally. I don't know if I can use her name, but Bernice, mm-hmm. her whole love family. Bernice. Okay. I love Bernice.
Love her.
She's African-American. Total
best person ever.
And, her and I have gotten into this conversation before, and I guess I didn't really realize what it was sometimes until she and Renisha and told me stories, her daughter, that have happened to them. in this area about things that they were, things that were said to them and places that they couldn't rent or things like that because they were African-American. But they're also on the side of that her daughters specifically have also kind of, and not that I blame them for it, but I've also kind of become on the side of their hatred and racism towards white people.
Right. Because like, white people, like we were talking about earlier, old white men are the ones in power.
That's what Mindy says.
Right. I agree.
It's like a
100%. But I don't think it's enough to say answer? I'm not racist because I have black friends and I don't feel racist.
But you know what?
Hold on one second. It's a lot deeper than that because I was probably in the same boat as Julie where I thought like, God, I don't do that. It really is a hard pill to swallow when you have to look at, and it's not just even about race. Where do your biases stand? You know, really taking a hard look at that. Cause I have a nephew who's black, and during all the protests and after all the George Floyd stuff, it's terrifying to think that, and he just is, he's at more of a risk because of his race. It just is what it is. And he knows that, which is heartbreaking.
I want to back that up with that. That has been an issue with my wife and I, fighting for custody with her son, who's African-American half, and coming here and going to school, being he looks African-American and with having two moms, like that would be a big thing.
You can bring him to me. Well, it'll be fine.
But it's you know, not everybody is like that. And just being a white male out here and having two moms would be a thing. And so that is something that we've talked about. And like, would this be the best place for him? You know, have him come out here and visit for, you know, summers and stuff and see if he can make some friends and see if everything would be okay. You know, in our minds, it's like, whatever. You know, like it's not a big deal, but is it? You know, I don't, and I think you're right, Stacey. You know, I am not all about the I do like Black Lives Matter and I think that they represent something, but I think I don't like extremists on either side. And I think that some people have taken it too far for me, and I'm like, you know, when it comes to like hurting other people, you know, and I don't think that that's the way to get your point across.
For sure. But then you look at stuff like, I mean, like the Kyle Rittenhouse case right now, where they're only allowed to use certain words to describe him.
He's right, by the way.
He murdered people. Who's right?
Self-defense, Kyle. It's self-defense. It's on video.
That's a lot.
I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I'm gonna mute myself. I'm muting.
Ignore that. Like, I'm gonna ignore that. But like, to what Julie said, like, none of us in this group want a man to tell us how we have to live our lives. Am I right? Like, none of us. True. So why are we telling Black people that they're oppressed and that we should listen to them and what they want?
They have been oppressed. We're not telling them that they are. They've told us that they were. We have oppressed them for years. What if they don't
think that they're oppressed? Then, like, that's
so
the
does,
thing. Like,
so does we a should small look group at people, of people. Go ahead.
I think we should look at people as an individual.
But so Black Lives Matter is a group. They formed a group.
I think Black Lives Matter is terroristic. I think that they burned buildings down. Like, that's not getting your point across.
I think insurrection is trying to burn a building down.
Yeah, a real important building.
January 6th was the insurrection. I think that people compare it to 9/11, and I don't think it was. Did Trump provoke it? He might have. I don't disagree with you on that.
Those aren't even the same things, though. 9/11 was a foreign attack.
It was literally a terrorist attack. Like, it was not
a terrorist attack. So
wait,
you
9/11 wasn't?
9/11 was for sure, but you see, like,
right. The insurrection.
CNN said
because it was our own government.
What did they do though? The police just let them in. Would you have not gone in there as well? The police just let them in. If the police had been there stopping them and they fought their way in, I agree.
Well, the police tried to stop them until it.
No, they didn't. They did not. But we agree to disagree, and that's fine. That's totally fine.
But that's the difference between a terrorist attack, though, and that's the difference between we think they tried to overthrow the government, and you think they're patriots.
No, I don't. I didn't say that they're patriots. Should they have stormed in there? Even if the police let them in, should they have gone in? No.
Does it bother you that they went in there carrying a Confederate flag?
That wasn't even Democrat. I mean, that wasn't even Republicans. That guy with the horns on his head was not a Republican.
What was he?
He was a Democrat that posed to be a Republican.
I'm gonna bow out. I love you all, but I'm out.
And that's fine.
I'm gonna mute myself this time.
You guys, that's totally fine.
Why do you think he was a Democrat? Let me just ask you that.
No, and you know what? That may not have been the right thing to say. I don't think that he was on the side of Trump. I don't think he was on the Republican side.
There were some unsubstantiated claims that he was a member of Antifa, and that might be what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
100 coming from his own mouth and from his attorney, that's not true. He believes he was sent there by Donald Trump.
Did he get arrested?
Yeah, he spent a lot of time in jail.
Is he in jail with all the other ones?
I don't know if he's still in jail. I know he very famously was requesting a vegan diet. It made the news when he was in jail.
I think that whole thing is ridiculous. Like, I think it's bullshit that we stormed our Capitol. You should not do that.
Right, but again, I don't know how
people.
Right, and I don't know.
But I also don't think Trump told them to storm the Capitol.
I would just say, I'm trying to be real self-reflective here. Maybe look into some of the evidence that's been coming out now through the process, because there's very clearly documented meetings, planning meetings with members of the House and members of the Senate, and like this was a pre-planned overthrow in which.
If it was pre-planned, why didn't they bring more Capitol Police? Why didn't they bring SWAT? The Capitol Police didn't know
it wasn't happening. In fact, they were told to, they didn't have as much staffing as they would have for like something like a Black Lives Matter rally. And so the Senate hearings are happening right now. And it basically, what it boils down to, this was planned in the event that Mike Pence did not stop the certification of the election results. It's documented. It's all coming out in the Senate hearings. There's also Capitol Police
testifying to it. Like,
correct.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. I'm more than happy to do my research and come back.
I would recommend it, because honestly, it's fucking bonkers the amount of coordination, especially with Republican members. Of what went on in there, because I've heard some inside stories about things that have been on CNN and things that have been on, can you pause it for a second, Jackie?
I think this is good why everybody talks, because this is good information. And Mindy has already said, even prior to this, like, she's excited to hear what you guys have to say, because she's not opposed to hearing the other side of what happened. Maybe something she didn't find on her social media or her news or something like that, that, you know, people are open to. And I think exactly right here is the problem, that one side or one person hears one thing and the other side or the other person hears another, and you don't even... And unless you put the time and the effort into learning Stacey said earlier, takes a lot of time, you know, and energy and effort into, otherwise you're just going to read what the fuck you have, you know, on your scroll and on your new stuff. And that's why doing stuff like this is so important to everybody learning exactly what happened. And I think most decent people would end up agreeing on a lot of things that that people think they disagree on.
Well, I agree, because watching the testimony from those Capitol Police officers is fucking heartbreaking, especially the one, and I don't remember his name, but the one who had a heart attack.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking. If had one person not stepped in to help try and get him up, he would have been murdered.
Well, it's also kind of the same thing that's going on with the whole idea of critical race theory too, right? Like, so that was circumvented by Christopher Rufo, and critical race theory is actually a really advanced law class that they teach for people in law school.
It does not get taught in
It doesn't K-12. Get taught through K-12. And he actually, this is from Christopher Rufo's mouth. I'm gonna read his actual tweet, like his tweet. Yeah, Aaron.
Michael Fanone.
What?
Heart attack guy. Oh. The guy who had a
thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
So thank you, Aaron.
I've been muted because I just don't think. Yeah. So Michael Fanone.
Thank you.
So Christopher Rufo, this came from his actual Twitter account. When it came to the right circumventing the term critical race theory and trying to make it seem like it was something that was going to be taught in K-12 schools. He said, "We have successfully frozen their brands, critical race theory, into public conversation and are steadily driving up negative perceptions. We will eventually turn it toxic as we put all the various cultural insanities under that brand category. The goal is to have the public read something crazy in the newspaper and immediately think critical race theory. We have decodified the term and will recodify it to annex an entire range of cultural constructions that are popular with liberal Americans." I don't know how stupid he is. If he just like put their whole plan out there, like we're gonna, you know, hijack this phrase and make it seem like something really scary. And it's been kind of baffling to me, the whole critical race theory craze, because it's critical race theory has never been something they want to teach in schools. No K-12 teachers are even trying to, because it's a theory of systemic racism, which teaches soon to be lawyers about implicit biases and systemic racism before they go into their profession. Okay. But I think this is just kind of indicative of what we're talking about right now. Like,
for sure,
things get hijacked and then it turns into something that a lot of buzzwords get put in, and a lot of, well, that's not what actually happened, and this is what we mean, and this, and a lot of,
and like, what dum-dum thinks that's going to get taught in elementary school? That kind of complex theory is going to get taught to elementary school students.
A lot of fucking dum-dums.
A lot of people think that because like,
we can hardly teach long division. You're going to teach CRT. Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. For real though. Like,
high schoolers can't multiply fractions.
In my mind, I feel like a lot of, I'm not even gonna put like a label on it. I feel like a lot of, communities are teaching the idea of racism as life instead of teaching things that really fucking matter. Like, well, do
right,
I think
like Christopher Columbus
matters?
Did
no.
not discover America.
Like, no, but like, that's like, do I think long division matters? No. Do I think that, like, proof
long division matters?
Well, no, I mean, but like, at the end of the day, you have a calculator. Like,
right. I've never once not had a calculator.
At the end of the day, like, do I think that long division is great? Yes. I think you need to know how to do it. But at the end of the day, is that going to make or break your career? No, unless you're like in engineering or something, right? Like, but my whole right, but my whole thought process is, and I should have never unmuted myself. I apologize, Jackie. Heard me if you would like, but like my whole thing is like I truly believe that like I should be herded, like just heard me, like I don't even know. Just
I'll heard you, bird.
I'm done.
We'll do a burger.
You're saying good stuff, Aaron. You're saying
no,
good stuff.
I literally, like, at the end of the day, I think people should be able to believe what they want to believe, but they should be able to suffer the fucking consequences for it when it doesn't match up with what common society needs to hear. Do I think that people need to hear that gay people are bad? No. Do I think that people need to hear that fucking racism is alive and well? Sure. But do I think that they need to hear that racism is not good? 100%. Yes. Like, I just, I just feel like,
Here's the thing with racism.
I think her brow, I feel like that's a...
Well, but here's the thing. We keep talking around it. You know, it does exist, or I've never seen it. You know, all of these personal experiences that we've had. The fact of the matter is there's a lot of people of color who live in this country that feel that it's real. So whether or not we think it's happened or we think that we're responsible for it, it doesn't really matter.
It's alive and well. It doesn't matter.
Well, because, I agree.
Well, because like Mindy said, we're five white women. Okay.
Right.
But the point is, if we don't start teaching real history in schools, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, we'll never heal as a country. Yes. Because until white people, even though nobody in 2021 has ever purchased an enslaved person off of a slave ship, I mean, there might be some. I don't. Listen, I'm making gross generalizations as we do here. So
right, but I think it's important for people who have the power to be allies. Just like straight people are you know, in the fight for rights are helpful. I think the more white people that speak out against racism, the better.
Stacey, I agree.
No, I know you.
What about what about the black people that say in the opposite that they're not oppressed and that they don't feel like there's racism? What do we think about those people?
They're entitled to their opinion
for them
too.
To feel that way. I think implicit bias exists and racism, deep-seated racism exists in this country.
I hate that CNN says the lieutenant governor of Virginia that's a product of white supremacy. And like, that's crazy. Like, that's crazy, you guys. Like, if a black person came to me and said, Mindy, I'm oppressed, I want you to help me, let's go. Like,
right, but again, it's generational.
But
it's the group generationally has
my generation has been poor. So why am I not getting benefits?
What's your opinion on Elizabeth Smart?
The one that got kidnapped and taken?
And who thought that she was in love with her kidnapper.
I think we're all susceptible to
wouldn't that be like Stockholm
abuse.
Syndrome?
It is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's my point. You all got it.
I'm the drunkest one here and fucking got it.
Black people are weak-minded and they're susceptible to what white people tell them.
I'm sorry. What did you just say?
Are you saying that like black people are susceptible to
No,
I thought that was literally something you were saying. Jackie, you need to cut that out.
I think have you ever heard the old proverb, like there's two fish swimming in the water and the old fish pulls up to him and he goes, hey boys, how's the water? And they say, what's water? I think it's like that. When you spend your entire life in something, you don't necessarily realize that you're in it. That's what I mean. I don't think Elizabeth Smart is weak-minded. And I'm not trying to imply that we've like kidnapped them. Right. But so were they. So they're not always aware. People aren't always aware. I wasn't aware of how rampant misogyny was until I got older and realized that I was cut off when I talk, or that people didn't listen to me all the way through, or that I had to play more of one of the guys to fit in a male dominated world, like you have, Mindy, in police force. I didn't realize that until I was old enough and had critical thinking and perspective to take a step back and realize what was happening and realize that it's wrong. I don't think those men who cut me off are inherently bad people. I don't think they are. I think they're products of their environment also. And we're raised in a society that puts more value on males than we do on females. And so they are products of what they were brought up to be, the breadwinners, the protectors, the whatever it else is guys do.
Reverts to religion too.
If you were to tell a Christian that they were raised in this oppressive Puritan society, they'd probably disagree with you. Even though as someone who sees outside of that, do you not think that the purity culture around Christianity is a little oppressive for women? The whole give into what your husband wants, you have to have sex with him when he wants to. But if you were to tell a Christian wife that she was being oppressed, what would her immediate response be? No, I'm not. This is my choice.
And let's just talk about the fact there's zero
to tell them that.
Well, like, and there's 0%
to tell a black person they're oppressed. I'm not allowed.
I'm not talking about individual black people. I'm saying as a society, we have oppressed black people. Does every single black person have the same experience? Of course not. Of course.
But it's neither, that same but argument. Neither
do white people or Hispanic people or Indian right, people but the or
least
anybody.
The least we can do is level the playing field, take out the systems that have been put in place that immediately start us off on a different footing, and then see where the chips fall.
Well, I'm not going to say Indian because that's offensive, but you don't think Native American people have been oppressed?
I'm not talking about Native American people. I'm talking about people from India.
Oh, okay.
That's why I say Indian.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure. Yeah. But also in this country, 100 people, 100%.
Here's the thing. I'm 33 years old. When I was born, we were not fighting for this country. I have no say in what happened on the Trail of Tears or what happened before that. And none of us can.
Yeah, we can, because there's books and evidence. 100%. That doesn't mean we don't know what happened. There's records.
No, I agree. But like, here's the thing. I feel like we're pulling people back. We're telling them you're oppressed and you need this and you need this.
We're acknowledging our whitewashed history.
I agree. This country was not perfect when it was formed. Absolutely. We're not perfect now. Let's lift people up. You can do whatever you believe in.
And how do you do that? How do you lift people up when there's blocks placed in front of them?
You stop telling them they're oppressed.
Or you remove the blocks.
But wait, you can't just like tell someone they're not oppressed. Like you have to not oppress them any longer.
But hold on. Because
right? Like,
I'm going to cut the conversation off right here. And we are going to pick it up in the next episode. The final part of this episode in its entirety, part 3, where we will continue this conversation and finish it out with the debate on vaccines. So thanks for listening. Hope you guys have a great weekend.
Fierce Femme Media.